I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are author and blogger Jimmy Israel, Kevin Blackistone, who's a national sports columnist for AOL Fanhouse, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, along with Matthew Continetti, the opinion editor of the Weekly Standard. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas, welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Doing great. How you doing?
Hi, Jimmy.
All right, well, we're going to have to kick things off in the shop today with a somber note. Funeral services for Elizabeth Edwards are set for tomorrow in North Carolina. We all know her, in part, as the estranged wife of former Senator John Edwards. She died after a long bout with breast cancer, Michelle.
And you know, I think she's such a complicated figure, and that's one of the reasons I'm really interested to hear what you all have to say about her, because I think many people may remember she was a lawyer and... but kind of had that kind of classic role of political spouse. And I remember John Edwards, you know, was on the vice presidential ticket and then ran for president again in 2008. Had a very public struggle with some tragedies, losing her son, their son, in a car crash when he was 16 years old, her battles with cancer. And then, of course, this very public breakup of her marriage when her husband was revealed to have been carrying on a very intense affair that resulted in the birth of another child. And she wrote about all this in her book, you know, Resilience. And I just want to play a short clip from an appearance on NBC in June where she was reading from her book about the end of her marriage to John Edwards. Here it is.
I knew I could no longer be John's wife. It was a sad and terrifying decision. I've been trying to reinvent the role of wife for the last 2 years, trying to find a place where I could be happy and still be John's wife despite his infidelity. Each day, it seemed, another piece of my history chipped away. There was little comfort or satisfaction. There was no peace. And at the very end of 2009, I finally gave up trying.
There you go, Jimmy. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that, Michelle. Of course, our condolences go out to the Edwards family. Guys, let me turn this over to you. Will, Kevin,
yeah.
Will Elizabeth Edwards, will she be remembered for her resiliency or kind of as a champion of healthcare, or as the woman John Edwards cheated on while she battled cancer?
Well, I think it's less of the second and more of the first and third. I mean, I think of all that she went through in her life and the fact that she was able to handle it, apparently, with so much courage and so much strength. I mean, these were all very public incidents, things that for most of us wouldn't be revealed as they were for her. But yet she was able to somehow soldier on, keep her head up, and be a spokeswoman and a spokesperson for people and families who were going through the same tragedies.
Matt?
Yeah, what makes Elizabeth Edwards interesting to me is, you know, when you look back on our recent political history, she was a leading indicator. You know, when her husband was nominated for the vice presidency in 2004, he was there to balance a ticket. You had the northern Massachusetts liberal in John Kerry, so they chose the southern conservative Democrat John Edwards to balance a ticket. But by the time Edwards ran in 2008, he was running from the left. He was the left most viable candidate in those primaries. What made the change? Well, when I look back, I think it was Elizabeth. I remember distinctly her going on to the Daily Coast in, I think, 2006, calling for the immediate withdrawal for Iraq and also calling for a universal health care. And she, I think, made those changes in her husband, but she was also a leading indicator of where the Democratic Party was headed. So when I think of her, that's what I'll remember.
That's interesting. Do you think, though, that she – was that because – she had a sense of the zeitgeist, or because she people was she leading or following? That was my question.
I think it's both, and I actually think the good statesman does both things. Mm. They can sense where the public is headed, where their public is headed, and then also anticipate and mold opinion. And so, you know, one wonders in so many cases of these famous political couples what would have happened had the tide been turned. I think Elizabeth proved herself to be just as savvy a politician, perhaps even more so than her husband.
Hmm. Arsalan, what do you think?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, Elizabeth Edwards' legacy might eclipse that of her husband's, in the sense that, you know, obviously with, you know, the whole infidelity fiasco with John Edwards, he's sort of seen as a political punchline now, whereas Elizabeth Edwards is sort of seen as a role model, you know, a role model for cancer survivors, a role model for mothers, for political spouses, you know, in terms of how to handle things, you know, with grace and dignity. I think that, you know, she captured, you know, the hearts of millions of Americans, you know, even those who have no interest in politics whatsoever. And I think that, you know, I think that her legacy is going to be one that sort of straddles different sociopolitical arenas.
That's true, although there was this very unflattering portrait of her in this a book that was published last year called Game Change, which I don't know how widely read it was outside of political circles, but I think in political circles, I think, I don't know anybody. Did you read it? I don't know anybody who didn't read it, and it portrayed a very different picture on a personal level, a person with a lot of hard edges, very vindictive and things of that sort. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know. I think being a political spouse is a very tough job, I have to say, because it's very hard to watch your spouse being criticized.
That's right.
You know what I mean? I'm wounded when my husband is criticized publicly, even though I'm not in politics, but I'm just saying he's a public figure, and then he just laughs it off, and then I'm just outraged for days. I think it's a tough job.
I'd also say, having studied Sarah Palin pretty closely, whenever a woman in politics is tough or brassy or tries to get her way, she's often portrayed by the media as vindictive and conniving. And so I think in that sense, Hillary Clinton, Sarah Palin, Elizabeth Edwards have all been ill-treated by the media at times.
Jimmy, what do you think?
I think, sadly, like Jackie O, she's going to kind of be remembered for all the above. It's like when you think of Jackie O, you know, you don't think of a patron of the arts, or you sometimes think of style maven, but what you remember the most is that she was the wife of that louse and alleged philanderer, JFK.
I don't. Well,
Camelot.
I don't think about Camelot. I think of all three of those things. So I think that's going to be the case with Mrs. Edwards, sadly.
Well, once again, as we said, our condolences to the family and all those who loved her. And those, as we said, her services for her will be held tomorrow. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having our weekly visit to the barbershop with Jimmy Israel, Kevin Blackistone, Arslan Iftikhar, and Matthew Continetti. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. All right, next, let's turn to President Obama and the showdown there in Washington over tax cuts. Now, the president is taking a lot of heat for a deal he brokered with Republicans that would extend tax cuts for all Americans for the next 2 years, Michelle.
Here's President Obama speaking with NPR's Steve Inskeep of Morning Edition. He's on today's Morning Edition about this. Here it is.
The issue here is not whether I think that the tax cuts for the wealthy are a good or smart thing to do. I've said repeatedly that I think they're not a smart thing to do, particularly because we've got to borrow money essentially to pay for them. The problem is that this is the single issue that the Republicans are willing to scotch the entire deal for. And in that circumstance, we've got basically a very simple choice. Either I allow 2 million people who are currently getting unemployment insurance not to get it. Either I allow the recovery that we're on to be endangered, or we make a compromise now, understanding that for the next 2 years, this is going to be a central battle as part of a larger discussion about how do we reform our tax code so that it's fair, and how do we make sure that we actually are dealing with the deficit and debt in an intelligent way.
He's in full professor mode there. You can see, but poor Arslan, you should see poor Arslan. He's been he's been shaking his head so hard. He's like, no, Arslan, just share your pain. Tell us what's going on here. Why he's got this pained look on his face.
Well, you know, you keep hearing the word compromise. You know, this is a compromise. You know, that's like, you know, LeBron James with Miami Heat's 15-8 record saying, oh, you know, we've just been compromising with the Boston Celtics and the Utah Jazz when we keep losing to them. Barack Obama is losing politically right now. You know, first of all, let's not forget, you know, the talking points put out there, you know, the tax cuts for the rich will help create jobs. Let's not forget, this is an extension of the tax cuts. So we wouldn't be in the recession, almost 10% unemployment, you know, with, you know, maintaining the status quo. Secondly, most importantly, you know, in September 2010, John Boehner, you know, clearly said that, you know, if he was given no choice, and obviously, of course, he would vote for tax cuts only for the middle class. So it seemed like, you know, essentially the Democrats just, or the administration at least, just, you know, handed them this on a silver platter. It's something that is not only a problem with the tax cuts, but, you know, for those of us on the left, you know, when it comes to the, you know, the single payer system and you know, during the healthcare debate, the failure to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, you know, these are some major watershed sort of political platform issues that the administration, you know, although they had made these promises during the campaign, have simply not been able to execute while legislating.
I just don't get it. Where are the votes, though? He doesn't have the votes. Does he have the votes in the Senate? He may have them in the House, but does he have the votes in the Senate? So you're willing to let unemployment benefits extension go? You're willing to let a payroll tax cut for all workers go?
Well, first of all, you know, under this extension, this would only increase unemployment benefits by 13 months for those unemployed for less than 100 weeks, and it would give zero benefit to those who are called 99ers who have been unemployed for more than 99 weeks. So essentially, we're giving more money to the rich and giving less money to the poor in a time of, you know, economic recession.
Matthew, it seems
counterproductive.
Matthew's okay.
I love old folk sayings. One is half a loaf is better than none. And the other is don't cut off your nose to spite your face. And when I see this deal, I see from a conservative point of view, well, half a loaf is better than none. And I think my friends on the left should see it too, because they get some things in the deal as well. But so many Democrats, the House Democrats in particular, who have said that they don't want to vote on this deal as it's currently designed, I think are engaging in that second saying. They're cutting off their nose to spite their face because they forget. And it seems everyone forgot that just a month ago we had the Democrats have a shellacking, the worst shellacking since 1938 in this country in electoral returns. And come January, the Democratic Party will be even in a weaker position with which to deal. So I think this is a good compromise for the country. I think it's a good compromise for Obama, who can now challenge Republicans to commit to real tax reform, you know, to replace this deal at the end of 2012. You know, and I think it'd be good for the Democrats. Let's not forget the reason, as you said, Michelle, the reason why this compromise had to be put in place wasn't the Republicans. There are still the Democrats in the majority. It was because Democrats didn't want to vote for a tax hike in the middle of a recession.
Jimmy, what do you think?
What's frustrating for me is the criticism from the left that, you know, he didn't fight. And it's like, wait a second, you guys elected him because he wasn't a fighter. You guys elected Sidney Poitier, not Richard Roundtree. You know, you guys, he was elected because he was the great compromiser. Let him do what he does best. And I think it's a pretty decent compromise, frankly.
Jimmy, I mean, Arslan, I'm just still curious about whether you think he had the votes. If he didn't have the votes, what was he? You're saying he could have what?
What
should he have done differently?
There's a thing called principle. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when we talk about, you know, electing somebody who is, you know, not George W. Bush, you want to ensure that the administration is putting forth policies that are not like George W. Bush's. Now, whether or not that gets passed in the Congress or the Senate, let's not forget, you know, Mitch McConnell and the 42 Republican senators basically said that we're going to be obstructionists on every piece of legislation that you put forward to us if you don't extend these.
So you'd rather be a noble failure?
I mean, sometimes somebody has to stand up for principle.
Why?
Here.
No, for what end? I mean, to what end?
To the end that's why we elected him. You know, we don't want, you know, triangulators in chief. We want commanders in chief, people who are going to lead and legislate.
Ouch, snap!
Man, you'll go hungry standing on principle, man. Seriously,
I mean principles, but I guess to what end?
Isn't that important for the Democratic Party as a leader of your party?
And to
it's
get
not
nothing?
Just
so
well, not
everybody
to get
gets
nothing,
a tax
but
rate
you have to.
In
you
January?
Know what? It's the holiday season. Why not let the Grinches be the Republicans? Why not let this be on their conscience that the unemployment benefits won't be there? You know, stand up for something. Don't, you know, you look at what's happening to the Democratic Party. I was amazed to find out that 38 Democrats didn't vote for the DREAM Act the other day. I mean, how hard was that? And so I think all of this, back to Arslan's point, I think all of this just feeds into the weakening of the party and his base.
Well, just the DREAM Act, for those who don't know, would offer a path to citizenship for children who were brought here as children, as long as they meet certain conditions. So anyway, well, there you go, divided government. That's why we have a difference of opinion in the barbershop. Before we go, we got to talk about the Heisman Trophy. College football standout Cam Newton, by all accounts, the runaway favorite for this year's Heisman Trophy, which will be handed out tomorrow night. But then there's some allegations swirling around him that his father, Cecil, who is a minister, by the way, shopped his son's talents to another college football program in exchange for, rather, he allegedly wanted an athletic scholarship for his son and almost $200,000 in compensation.
Right.
So, Kevin, what's the latest on that?
Well, the latest is that last night Cam Newton won most of all of the minor sports awards for an offensive player for the season, and that he is very unlikely, despite the fact that some sports writers are pulling their votes, because of these questions about his eligibility, is very likely to win in a runaway with the Heisman Trophy, as well he should.
Do you think there's any hesitancy? Because, you know, Reggie Bush was pressured to give back his 2005 Heisman when allegations emerged years after the fact. You think there's any hesitancy to say, well, gee, if this is going to be tainted later,
you know,
don't give it now?
Let the Heisman Trust, the Heisman Committee, decide that then. The bottom line is right now the NCAA has said this kid is good to go for this season. They found nothing improper with his relationship with Auburn, where he's playing now, and I think that voters should really decide on those merits.
Arsene, what do you think? You're the civil rights guy as well as the sports guy.
Echoing KB, a lot of people are not only talking about Cam Newton winning, but they're saying, is he going to break O.J. Simpson's total ballot record, you know, from 1972?
There's a role model for you.
Exactly.
thumbs up. Okay, quickly. Give him the Heisman.
Give him the Heisman. He, you know, even with the controversy, it's going to be forgotten in a week. He's going to be a good NFL quarterback. And if he has to give it back in a few years, he has to give it back.
Man, that's cynical. Matthew, what do you think?
We have consensus. You know, my school is better known for its fencing team than its football team, but I'm with the guys. Let's give it to Cam.
Jimmy, what do you think?
Give it to him. Why not?
Okay. Good. We'll see. No suspense there.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
All right.
There you go. Exactly.
Jimmy Israel is the author of The Denzel Principle. He joined us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Kevin Blackstone, a national columnist for the sports blog AOL Fanhouse and a panelist on ESPN's Around the Horn, is with us here in Washington, along with Arsalan Iftikhar, the founder of themuslimguy.com and a legal fellow for the Institute of Social Policy and Understanding, and Matthew Continetti, opinion editor at the Weekly Standard and author of, most recently, The Persecution of Sarah Palin. Thank you all so much. Happy holidays.
Peace. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yep.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more on Monday.